Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with Carol Jantsch, who is principal tuba of the Philadelphia Orchestra, but also plays solo repertoire and was soon to play in a concert presented by the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society. She had with her one of her tubas, which she used to illustrate various aspects of the instrument's range.
Well, it's such a big, beautiful instrument, and I guess a lot of people don't see it up close because you sit in the back of the orchestra, and it's not until you get up close that you realize it has a lot of tubing.
Yeah, there's a lot of plumbing.
So can you describe your tuba?
Well, you're actually, right now, you're looking at the smaller one of the two that I play regularly. I have two instruments that I play often. The bigger one is the one I play in the orchestra that puts out a lot more sound, and because it's bigger, it means the tubing is longer, and thus you play lower notes. So that one's in the key of C, and this is my small one in the key of F, which is what I usually play for solos. So the difference in sound quality, you get a little bit more clarity on the smaller instrument and a little bit more mass on the bigger one.
The tubing kind of looks like a very complicated highway interchange with tubes going all different directions.
Yeah, when you play with no valves down, you get a set of notes that's the harmonic series, right? So is it cool if I play?
Sure.
Show that. So since this is an F tuba, you'll get the harmonic series based on F, which starts with the fundamental, which is a low F. And then it goes up from there. So, and you can see that I'm not pushing any valves to get that, right? So that's all just with my face, right?
So you make different notes without pressing any of the valves down at all.
Right, yeah. So on a brass instrument, like we're doing most of the work with our faces. Really, the instrument's just amplifying it, and you want to match the length of the tubing to the note that you're buzzing so that it resonates best. What happens when you press a valve down is that you re-guide the air. So if I push down my second valve here, you can see this easily because there's a really little slide here. But when you push this down, it adds that tubing. So it changes the direction of the air. It goes through there and makes it longer, and you get a lower note. So that changes for a half note, so for a half step, sorry. So if I push that down, but that means that I get a whole series of notes, right? So if F is like this, then second valve gives you E.
So each valve changes the length of the tubing.
Right.
And the length of the tubing determines the note. The length of the tubing and the way your mouth is positioned.
Yeah, and so I have five different valves of, like, different length slides that the combinations give you all the notes of the chromatic scale.
So that all equals a range of what?
The lowest note you can play on this tuba would be with all of the valves down, the fundamental there, so that'd be G-flat or F-sharp below the piano. And then you can go as high as your face permits. I guess I have, like, A's in the program. So, like, my recital, I'll go up to, like, an A above middle C. So it's kind of, like, four octaves or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now when you say as high as your face permits, it's because you're making different shapes with your mouth or your lips or your tongue?
Right. You're using your muscles. We call it an embouchure. You put your lips together tighter, you blow faster air, you get a higher note.
Cool. Now, the repertoire for tuba, well, if the modern tuba was invented
in the 1830s is when it really, what we call the tuba today, it happened.
So how have composers written for tuba over the years?
The transition to tuba was kind of a slow evolution, right? That, like, as I understand it, there are a couple different routes that people were trying to get low sounds into the orchestra, because basically they started with the higher instruments first. And as groups got bigger and bigger, they realized that there was a lot of treble happening and they wanted more emphasis on the lower end. And like earlier bass instruments just weren't cutting it, like, for as far as winds. So like they're there was the serpent for a long time, which looks like a snake. It's kind of like this S shape, and there were holes that you would cover, and it sounded like, but like with a brass mouthpiece. So, and you can like go on YouTube and hear recordings of it. It's a little bit of a hollow sound, right? That it doesn't have like the kind of resonance that other brass instruments have. And then like the ophicleide, you can YouTube and hear these period instruments. People still play them as kind of a novelty. Berlioz was kind of like a big composer for tuba because he wrote a lot for these lower instruments right around the time when they were coming into play. And then later he went back and said they're now tuba parts because, like, okay, this better instrument exists now. So he was big in our sort of transition.
That's really interesting. I had never focused on the fact that different instruments came into being to create different sounds that composers wanted to make.
Well, it all had to happen at some point, right? Just the thing about tuba is that it's one of the youngest members of the orchestra. The tuba was added basically last out of everyone. So the instrument is just earlier on in its evolution than other instruments are.
Are modern composers using the tuba in different ways?
Okay. Well, so first of all, I think it's kind of the nature of the instrument that you need someone playing the bass line, right? Composers aren't going to put the melody in the tuba very often at all. We'll sit out for like entire movements and then just come in when it's time for the hellfire part or whatever. So that's kind of a fun role, and it makes sense for what the instrument is, but there are a lot of capabilities that don't get used in orchestra parts a lot. So, yeah, absolutely, I would say that's a recent development. I don't think the tuba was really seriously written for as a solo instrument until, like, the 1950s. So there's not much repertoire for us, the stuff that exists is pretty contemporary. So I end up playing a lot of transcriptions because I just like to play music that I like to play. But I would probably say that, like, having Vaughan Williams' Tuba Concerto written was big for us. That sort of started people, like, it pushed the instrument's visibility up.
So what kind of transcriptions are you drawn to? What kind of music do you say, wow, the tuba sounds really great playing this?
I don't start with tuba. I just start with, I like hearing this piece. I want to play it. And then I just happen to play the tuba, so I make it work, right? So everything from Piazzolla to Cacciatorian to Bach to, like, whatever.
Could you talk a little bit about your first solo album, Cascades? What's on it? What kind of things you wanted to put on it?
Sure, but I just wanted to record music that I like to play, and so out of the 8 pieces on there, only 2 of them are original tuba pieces. So you'll hear a lot of virtuosic stuff on this CD. I mean, like, this Vizzuti Cascades piece, the title piece is really virtuosic trumpet piece with all kinds of, like, octave skiffs and really fast scales, and the Piazzolla has a lot of licks, and of course a violin concerto, it's going to be a little impressive. But I think for me the most fun part, is getting to play the melody. And one of the pieces I'm doing on my PCMS recital that I have so much fun with is playing Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun by Debussy. I just love playing around with, like, colors and movement. I mean, like, you wouldn't expect a tuba to be kind of nimble and floating. Like, so I guess I like sort of challenging preconceptions about that kind of thing, whether it's melodic or technical, that, like, they're both fun in really different ways. So playing 3 octave scale, it's just like part of my warm up, but most people are just like, whoa, like, I didn't know the tuba could play fast at all. And we can. Oompahs are fun, but this is really great too.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.